Now, on the line, I have Professor Des O'Neill from the Royal College of Physicians in Ireland. And we're going to be chatting about a new driver information leaflet. Good morning, Professor O'Neill.
Good morning.
Professor O'Neill, maybe you could give us a bit of background on the new leaflet.
Sure. I'm the director of what's known as the National Office for Traffic Medicine, which is a joint project between the Road Safety Authority and the Royal College of Physicians on behalf of a range of medical, paramedical, nursing and other bodies, including the Gardaí. And this arose around a realisation that we lacked good advice and support and recommendations around what people should do when they've got any one of a range of illnesses, and how that might impact on both their ability to drive, ease of driving, but also safety. So this has been fueled somewhat by the European Union taking an interest with a number of directives, particularly around 2009. So we set up a program, and our key aim and philosophy, and that of the Road Safety Authority as well, is actually to have a very strong emphasis on promoting mobility, but promoting safe mobility. And there's three arms of responsibility in this. The first one is around getting good guidelines for doctors and education in these guidelines. And this we've managed to do very satisfactorily. We've got a set of guidelines available. The general public can get them off the website of what's known as the NDLS, the National Driver Licensing Service. And it's called Sláinte Agus Tiomáint, Health and Driving. And it's updated every year. We run education programs, and we have the highest level awareness of medical fitness to drive guidelines among family doctors of any country in the world. So that's one side of it. But the second side of it is a very strong emphasis on drivers' own responsibility for maintaining their health, for discussing any relevant conditions with their family doctor or specialist, and following the advice they're given, and also to contact the NDLS and the insurance, their insurance, as might be necessary. So to do this, we've undertaken quite an innovative campaign, probably the first driving licensing authority in the world to do this, to develop a portfolio of leaflets to guide drivers, because how do you know you've got an issue unless somebody tells you that might be relevant? So we've already provided documents, leaflets, and these are all available for download from both the NDLS and the RSA on epilepsy, cardiac conditions, diabetes and driving, alcohol and driving, what to do if you've got an injury, obstructive sleep apnea. But we also run a campaign out in the community, and we've had a stand, for example, several years running now at the Ploughing Championships, at the Tullamore Show, at the Over 55 Show. And it became clear to us that we needed a more general leaflet that said, what are the sort of conditions that can affect your driving? And we've outlined these to in this leaflet here. And again, I think we've emphasized the positivity of this approach, that it's actually about supporting safe driving and not about putting people off the road. So this has been welcomed by the Irish College of General Practitioners. And as I said, it's around a sense of a shared responsibility.
Well, as I'm getting a little older, these things are starting to come into my mind, which I probably, when I was younger, I never even thought about that. There are certain conditions that do affect your driving. And I take it there are certain conditions that are what we'll call notifiable, that you must go along and tell people.
Yes, indeed. And the interesting thing is that although my background is as a geriatrician, this is very much an all-ages issue. And in fact, probably one of the key ones that we sometimes tend to forget that it's a medical condition is alcohol misuse and dependence, which particularly actually is worse in younger and middle ages. So that's an area around which we're trying to develop a more proactive sense of, hold on, this is a medical condition that can impact you. The Sloan Sheoghs Tomont guidelines, which doctors tend to know well enough in their area, makes it clear the things you do need to report. So, for example, epilepsy is one that needs to be reported, because once you've been seizure-free for a year and controlled, you get a license a year at a time until 5 years have passed. So the driving licensing authority does need to know about that. Diabetes on insulin, if you're driving a truck, they certainly need to know about that, for example. But for there's quite a wide range of things which are transient or temporary, where we don't need to inform the National Driver Licensing Service. So we're hoping to build up awareness and knowledge among the general public. In fact, we've carried out the first survey that we can find anywhere in the world literature on the general public's perception of medical fitness to drive, and it showed lower levels than we would like. So we think this is something really, really worth doing.
I would agree with you there, and I have to be honest that I would be fairly low down on that in my understanding of what conditions really affect your driving. But on, we'll say, a slightly humorous note, I was listening to a different radio station. I shouldn't be saying this, but I was listening to a different radio station yesterday, and they were looking at a particular advert that has now come to light in the US, and it's targeting people, you know, with drug and alcohol issues, and telling them, you know, to start thinking about whether they should be driving or not. But it was actually quite funny when you listened to the advert, you know, somebody saying, "I can't drive you to the mall today. I'm high."
Yes, well, I mean, and it is kind of one of the challenges, and that's going to emerge. Alcohol is one thing, but I think we're going to certainly find, for example, cannabis, and I think an increased move towards legalization of cannabis is going to pose some serious difficulties. And I think misperceptions that cannabis affects you less than alcohol in driving is something that probably we will be moving towards in future, in the very near future, possibly into our next year's program. We may make an emphasis around this, particularly as cannabis is not controlled and is considerably more potent now than it was 20 years ago. And there's some disturbing figures beginning to appear in crash statistics in not only in legislations that ban cannabis in driving, but in legislations in jurisdictions where they have legalized cannabis. So this is going to be an area of some concern.
And of course, a lot of people will be thinking that, I have such and such a thing, but if I don't tell anyone, I can just drive away. Nobody will take any notice. But of course, if you have one of these issues and you haven't told someone and you go ahead and drive, it can affect your insurance.
Not only that, it can potentially lead you towards a jail sentence. And one of the things we put into our newest guidelines this year, just so that doctors can advise the general public, is there was a rather tragic case last year of somebody who killed somebody and he had a visual condition that he should have reported honestly on his driving license application and should have followed advice. And as well as the 5-year sentence relating to the driving and the death, he got a 2-year suspended sentence for not reporting honestly to the driver licensing service, and a 4-month suspended sentence for not reporting to the insurance company. So it's not just a question, for example, in terms of the insurance company, that you mightn't be covered, but it's also that it might actually be an offence.
And funny, I was out for a game of golf yesterday. Maybe it was the day before. And again, I get muddled with my games of golf. But I was talking with a gentleman, and he was telling me he was having difficulty seeing the ball. You know, when he'd strike the ball, he was having difficulty seeing where it would land, because he had a cataract was starting in his eye. But he'd been left, he'd been told basically by the doctor, well, it has to get to a certain level before we can take it out.
Yeah, well, what we're hoping is that he has been advised by his ophthalmologist or optometrist as to whether or not he still is within the right visual acuity. Again, not seeing a golf ball that's, you know, fairly far away is probably quite a high level of discrimination. But generally, we are trying to get the message out that people get the proper advice. So the visual acuity would be, you know, is not necessarily quite the same as seeing a golf ball down the fairway.
Indeed, because if you realise the amount of balls that I lost, I'd be really in trouble.
Indeed, yes.
But now I have to say, I find this fascinating. I think it's a great idea having the leaflet. If our listeners want to get a hold of that leaflet, can you tell us again exactly where they can
If you go on to the what's known as the NDLS, National Driver Licensing Services, NDLS website, you'll find it under medical conditions. You'll find this leaflet and a range of other leaflets. So I think that's probably the most straightforward and sensible place to go.
And it's better for us as drivers to be proactive about these things, to go and actually see, have we got issues? Have we got a problem? Who should we tell? And it's not the end of the world if, you know, you have to go and tell somebody that you that you have one of these conditions. Exactly.
No. And we haven't found our drivers getting loaded. For example, we would see people with early dementia where you can probably drive for a few years once you're being monitored and assessed. And none of the drivers at our clinics have in telehospital have found themselves being loaded extra by the insurance company.
And I take it, you know, in certain industries, like we'll say, I know they're not on the road as such, but you would say pilots, taxi drivers, bus drivers would all have to do yearly eye tests.
Yeah, no. There's been a bit of it's interesting when there sometimes is somewhat of a commercial impetus to drives. You can see about getting eye tests. Eye tests probably we've no evidence that it's really effective or that it makes a difference to crash rates. So we would think certainly wouldn't recommend that. There are often industrial and economic motives behind some of the recommendations that come out. So, for example, we don't necessarily recommend that people get advanced driver instructor, indeed, or extra courses. We would just recommend is that they pay heed to the conditions which are relevant. And if you're having trouble with your eyesight generally, well, of course, get your eyesight checked. But annual eye checks, there's no evidence that it's of benefit and would add cost and a barrier to driving.
And would the use of, shall we say, nighttime glasses and that, would they be assisting some of these conditions?
I didn't catch that about nighttime.
Yeah, so night vision glasses. No, we call them night vision glasses, but you know these anti-glare glasses that stop the oncoming lights from cars affecting you.
Yeah, I don't. There's not much in the literature as to whether or not that really helps. To be honest, I mean, I think if people find them more comfortable, of course they could go with them. But there's no real evidence of it. I think it's around improving comfort. No evidence on it improving safety.
And Professor O'Neill, many thanks for coming on today. I've certainly learned something today. I hope the listeners have as well. And if they go on to the NDLS website, they can get all those leaflets for free.
Thank you very much. A pleasure talking to you.
And you too, Professor. All the best. Slán leat.
Bye. Slán.